This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello, great to be with you.
And Bridget, by this time, many people have gotten an invitation in the mail. And if you did, you know what I'm talking about. If you didn't get one, you may not have a clue. I'm talking about our Catholic Radio annual dinner. It's coming up on Tuesday, October 2nd. And this year, we're going to be at the Knights of Columbus Hall on the north side again, about near 71st and Keystone there. And our guest speaker this year is Archbishop Thompson.
Yeah, that's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to that.
It is going to be cool. And we want to have just as many people as we possibly can there. And typically we get somewhere between 200 and 250 people. So it's not a huge crowd. And the reason I'm telling you that is because everybody will have an opportunity before or after the dinner to mill around and actually talk to the bishop and tell him what's on your mind and that sort of thing. And he loves to hear that. I mean, it's when you're at the very top, making the rules, so to speak, you like to talk to the people that are in the pews to find out, you know, what's really going on out there in the pews, so to speak. So that is October 2nd. Starts about 5:30 in the evening with a reception and a silent auction. So if you can't get there till 6:30 or so, that's perfectly fine, too. But October 2nd, it's a Tuesday night, Northside Knights of Columbus. You can go to our website, catholicradioindy.org, and sign up. It's $65 a person or $450 for a table of eight people. And so that's a good buy either way. And I want to remind people that priests and vowed religious can come at no charge. So if you want to come along, you and your spouse, and grab the pastor, that's great. He can come at no charge.
That's a good deal for him too, right?
It is a good deal. So October 2nd, register catholicradioindy.org or just call us at 317-870-8400.
We'll do that, Jim. My guest today is Stephen O'Keefe. I call him a local apologist, and some people get afraid of that big word apologist or whatever, but I also think of you as the question guy.
I've been called worse.
Well, welcome to Faith in Action. I'm so glad you could be here.
Thank you so much.
This is about one of my favorite topics, apologetics, because as Catholics, we're always being asked questions, mm-hmm. and a lot of times we just don't know the answer or how to deal with that. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about what is apologetics, maybe Catholic apologetics.
Okay.
And how did you get into doing this, and what exactly are you doing?
So apologetics, broadly speaking, is just making a defense for anything at all. So
okay.
If you hire a lawyer to represent you in court, you're hiring an apologist for you in a legal setting. So anyone who argues for anything is a type of apologist. And you're right that it gets sort of a bad rap. People think of like the White House press secretary whose job it is to say anything at all necessary to spin things just right.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do good or bad apologetics. And so Catholic apologetics is sort of the science and art of answering questions about the faith, answering concerns about the faith, arguing against objections to the faith for the sake of the, building up the body of Christ.
And really, just in my life, just if you're Catholic and people know you're Catholic, you wear maybe a crucifix or, have a Bible on your desk or something, which Stephen and I have talked about this before. You put a Bible on your desk and people will come and they will ask you questions. And just out in the world, people will ask you questions. And this is a skill that really we all need to have some bit of. How did you get involved in this? You tell me a little bit about some of the things that you're doing, because you're doing several different type of apologetics ministries, and you've got a book. You do high school youth ministry with a Bible study, mm-hmm. which is like a Q&A format, and then you also do the parish column apologetics. So talk a little bit about those and how you got into that.
So we'll have to go further back than maybe you anticipated.
Okay, that's fine. We love stories.
I'd have to start, say, back in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And back in high school, if you took a snapshot of me, I'm from a mass-going Catholic family, but there wasn't a whole lot of formation just outside of the Mass, and I think that's a very common story.
Mm-hmm.
And that began to change in senior year when a friend of mine invited me to go to a Monday night Bible study that was hosted by a certain Paul Lunsford,
mm-hmm.
if you've met him. And of course, he combines a bunch of qualities that are, you know, rare to find in an individual. I would see this maybe in old videos of Fulton Sheen, but mm-hmm. here it was in person. So he was a man who knew his faith, right? He believed it was important, and he wanted the kids to think through their faith. He wanted them to apply it to their lives. He wanted them to evangelize.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, you've met the guy. He's made of dynamite.
Yeah.
Right?
We had him in here not too long ago, Deacon Paul Lunsford.
Anybody who knows Paul would say everything you described and more.
Right.
That Paul is kind of just a Catholic bulldog almost, that he really is not at all apologetic for the faith in the sense of, you know, having to apologize for it. He's more on the apologetic track where he can explain to you. And a lot of times with Paul, it's mm-hmm. in a very real way. I mean, it's not an academic
yeah.
answer. It's a real down to...
It's blue collar.
Absolutely. And
so
when he answers it, you know what he said. And
that's
you know
exactly
why
right.
he said it.
So that was some good formation I got in really some of the first times I ever... It opened up a world to me of the Catholic faith as something deep that you can think about. And you can answer questions about it. And it's not just having a right set of feelings and emotions about a thing. It's there's really some intellectual depth to it. So that was my first foray into that world.
And I think that Bible study format, which obviously you are carrying forward,
mm-hmm.
you're running that now, that format of the high school students come in or the teens come in to a person's house. It's mm-hmm. it goes house to house, right?
Yeah, it does.
And so it's not at church. It's, you know,
yeah,
at
a person's
house.
That's kind of a traditional and I think important part of it.
And the youth can ask questions.
Yes. So
you're the question guy.
So the next stage on this journey is I go to Purdue to study engineering. And then I kind of fall back into my Mass going tendencies, not a whole lot of formation outside. But then in senior year of college... to be honest, I was just looking for a girlfriend, and a person recommended I go to this club called CTL, Catholic Truth League, and that was a apologetics and catechesis class run by Father Brian Dorr
mm-hmm.
and one Curtis Verner, who is now Father Curtis Verner, and that was an opportunity. Every week they chose a topic, and then we'd learn about that Catholic practice or belief, and then we'd learn how to defend it in the real world, and that was probably my first dipping the toe into apologetics. And then I graduated, I moved to Indianapolis, I started working, and then 2009 was a big year for when I got into apologetics for real.
If you're just joining us right now, we're talking with Stephen O'Keefe. He is a local apologist. And continue with your story there, Stephen.
So in 2009, I was catching up with an old friend of mine from high school and college, and he said a line to me that I'll just never forget. He said, Stephen, there have been tens of thousands of gods that human beings have worshipped throughout history, and you reject almost all of them. I just reject one more than you. All right, so he had become an atheist. And I remember this guy, he was a very stubbornly Christian fellow back in high school and early college before we lost contact. And then come out the other side of college, now he's a very strident atheist. And this didn't even occur to me that this was a possibility. And so I found myself in my first apologetics discussion about the existence of God. And at the same time, I kind of looked at the population of my graduating class. When I was in high school, it was just kind of assumed that everyone was a church-going Christian. And then after college, it was like a tornado just tore through a town. And then I kind of looked at myself, and you know how every now and then a tornado will just leave a glass of water standing on a TV tray, just oddly untouched for no good reason? I felt like I was that glass of water, just left behind for no particular reason, nothing about me that really, you know, stood out for why, you know, this one should be left standing. And so that was very disturbing to me. But then that same year, I ran into Paul Lunsford again, and he recommended that I come and work with him at the Bible study, which was now called ACTS, A-C-T-S. It's an acronym for Average Catholics in Training to be Saints.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
It was certain Ken Bassler came up with that one. It's very good. The one downside is that it sounds like axe, the cutting implement, so you really have to
spell it out,
you have
right?
to spell it out and really pronounce it very well. And so I started volunteering with him, and I was sort of the Robin to his Batman. I was kind of the fresh out of college, cool guy who maybe got more of the pop culture references. But then at the end of that school year, he did something that many people didn't expect. He said he was going to become the president of Garen and a deacon, and he wasn't going to have time anymore to do the Monday night Bible study thing. So we had a going away party for him. And at that going away party, Lou Pies, the director of high school youth ministry at Our Lady Mount Carmel, he approached me and said, "So, are you ready to take over Acts?" And I was like, "Am I ready? No. No, I'm not ready. I mean, I'll do it, but no." And but then come that Monday, I find myself in a family's house with 20 kids around me. They're all looking at me, waiting for me to say something. And what do? You just get to it. And a couple of things became clear to me at that moment. One was that if I was that glass of water left on the TV stand after the tornado, the reason why is because the Holy Spirit wanted Deacon Paul to be a deacon and the president of Garen, but someone had to stand in the gap for the kids. Someone had to be at that place where the kids could come with their questions and learn about their Catholic faith and learn how to defend it in a real way. Someone had to do that thing, and that was something I was being called to do. And at the same time, I needed to learn. If I was going to fill that role, I had to learn. And so that began a lot of studying. And then I guess to complete the rest of this journey, a couple years later, 2013, Father Adam Malman was doing a Ask Father Adam column in the Bulletin. He was looking to offload some of that work. And he looked at me and said, "Well, you know, you're kind of already doing this. So how about I give you half and half?" And so I initially wrote under a pen name, Axe Apologist.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to do it anonymously. But after he left, he said, "Okay, you need to use your real name." And so that's how the Bulletin article started. I've been doing it for 5 years now.
And how long have you been doing the Bible study?
Counting the time with Beacon Paul, it would be October 2009 is when I started. So it's been nearly a decade.
And kids can come in and ask really any question, right?
Anything they like.
You know what? I'm just looking at the clock. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking with Stephen O'Keefe. He is the local apologist, and we'll be right back for more Faith in Action. Stay tuned.
Just a reminder that Catholic Radio Indy is listener-supported. If you are one of our regular donors, thank you very much.
Hello, this is Timothy Doherty, Bishop of the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana. We all support our parishes and the wonderful things they do to support and spread our faith. But how do we reach all those thousands of people who haven't been to church for a year or maybe never? Catholic Radio is on the air 24/7 and has the potential to reach people wherever they are on their faith journey. That's why I ask you to please support this station however you can.
I know how important the message of hope that you guys give is.
Make it be enough to make a miracle happen in someone else's life like it did for mine.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy urges you to support our underwriters. They help keep the station on the air 24/7.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm here with Stephen O'Keefe. He is a local apologist, and he's doing three really kind of unique things. You're doing a Q&A format with high school mm-hmm. youth, which is really needed. Why is that kind of format on a weekly level with high school students mm-hmm. important?
So one of the reasons that kids give when they leave the faith is they say, "No one would take my questions seriously." That's so common. I've gone to YouTube and I've kind of binge watched deconversion videos, and that's just a common refrain, is I had all these questions, no one would take them seriously. And so part of what I do, you know, maybe for the first 45 minutes of the evening, is we field any questions that the kids want related to the Catholic faith, or even somewhat related to the Catholic faith. Just anything they want to talk about is fair game. And that is an outlet for them, which is very important, because you have kids, you know, a doubt in your mind. It can be like the little cut on the roof of your mouth that would heal if you just stopped licking it, but you can't. And so it's really important to show them that the adults care about their concerns, and that there are good, reasonable answers, that this is all not just pie in the sky. And so, and you know, so they'll hear something like, well, the Bible has been passed down for 2,000 years. How could you possibly, I mean, have you ever played the telephone game? Mm-hmm. You know, and things get corroded over time. And that can be a really strong objection until you come to Acts and you're able to ask that and we can talk about that. It's just a very important thing for kids to have that outlet. It's very important. And as for the bulletin article, you know, I once tried to do adult ministry classes and it was a spectacular failure. It was like three adults came, you know, and then on the third night, like one came. And but the bulletin articles are just a good way to meet the parents where they're at.
Mm-hmm. And everybody, because there's a lot of people that, you know, maybe they don't get the Catholic moment or the criterion, or maybe they don't, you know, listen to EWTN or Catholic radio. They should, of course. But they do go to Mass.
Right.
And that is like, such a great means of communication.
Yeah, sure. So they give me 300 words every week.
Where do you get the ideas for a particular bulletin segment, or where do you get the questions for that?
Okay, so now we're going to get into the dirty little secret of my Acts Apologist column.
Uh-oh.
So there is a email address at the bottom of the of each article, and you can write in there and email questions, but hardly anyone ever does.
Uh-huh. I did. I sent you two.
You did.
And I promised you I would, and I did.
Yeah. And so that's kind of a joke that I have is whenever I tell people no one emails and they go, oh, I will, but then they never do.
But I did. And you know what? Let's give that email right now. It's olmc.ax@gmail.com. And I guess anybody can send a question in, right?
Anybody, yeah.
You don't have to be from the parish. I mean, ideally, it's promoted in the parish.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know what? Since I mentioned that, you do have a blog as well. So it's not just a blog and a YouTube channel.
Yep. It's so it's actsapologist, one word, .blogspot.com. And that's sort of my clearinghouse of all the writing I've tried to do.
So like all the topics that you've covered in what, like 250 columns or something that you've written. So that's a great resource for anybody listening that has a question.
So generally when I'm forming a question, if I don't have anything coming from the parishioners, which is most all the time, I'm usually looking at the readings for the week and I'm saying, okay, what is in these readings that pertains to a question that people commonly have, or what's a question someone could have about these readings, which they'll want to have answered. You know, I view it most of the time as a supplement to the homily, because, you know, homilies are, they're great, but they're not always doctrinally rich. And that's an area where adults, I think, are poorly formed. I think that, you know, if you had continued me on a straight line from high school without Deacon Paul, without CTL, my Catholic faith was just something I'd cobbled together from stuff I'd heard from here and there. And I think that that's a state where a lot of parents are in from no fault of their own. And so the bulletin article, I'm trying to solve that by exposing them a little bit more to the doctrine of the faith and the from the point of view of objections to it.
I've always thought of apologetics as being kind of the nuts and bolts of the faith, that you know, the real bedrock things of the faith. When you hear an apologist talk on like Catholic Answers here, it's never, oh, I think it's this way, or gee, it's probably this way, or, you know, it could be. It's never that way.
Oh,
it's always, it's this way, and it's this way because.
Right.
And then they explain.
And that's, going back to the teenagers, that's a crucial thing for the kids, because sometimes people will say, well, kids these days, they don't want answers. They're comfortable with the ambiguity and the gray. And it's like, no one is.
Nah,
no one likes that.
They want the truth.
Yeah, they want the truth, and they want the why behind it as well. And so what happens is a lot of evangelical Bible studies, they'll read a verse and they'll say, well, what do you think about this verse? How does this verse make you feel? All right. And at the Bible study that I run, we'll, you know, I write a Bible study for the kids for the evening, and that question just never gets asked. It's just, you know, if someone says, this verse makes me feel like this, my response is, well, that's nice. That and $2 will buy you a cup of coffee. Here's what Paul was getting at when he wrote this. Yeah. And so, I mean, that is the harder edge of, you know, forming people in the faith, is this isn't so much about your feelings. There really is something solid that you're putting your feet down on. And
so what kind of response have you had? I mean, obviously, you being involved in this has had an impact on your life in terms of, you know, being involved with the Truth League and going to the Bible study when you were in high school. But what, how have you seen it pay forward with these young people?
So let's talk about some negative responses first. Those are always, those are always juicy. So, and these are very, these are very few. But there have been a couple cases where people just didn't like the answers that I've given. But it wasn't necessarily because they disagreed. It was because they're mad at the church for teaching this thing, which is not my problem.
Exactly.
Another response I got was, oh, you're teaching apologetics. You know, isn't that just divisive and it's about arguing? Why can't we just teach the kids to love Jesus? And it's like, you know, if you, if the kid is struggling with doubts about whether Jesus existed, you need some apologetics.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You need to answer those questions that they have.
Yeah. So, so you know, those are some people who just, I don't know, they're from this mindset where apologetics means arguments, arguments are bad, and there's no place for that in our, in the Catholic faith, apparently. Even though you can go to Acts chapter 17 and witness Paul, you know, it says his, his tactic was he went to the synagogue and he argued for days, and then he would go to the marketplace and argue for days. And it's like, well, if arguments are bad, no one told St. Paul. Of course, you have, there's a difference between having an argument and being, you know, pugnacious and being argumentative.
Sure.
You need to, there is always a finesse to it that you need to be very aware of, because you're not just answering a question, you're answering a person with a question.
Absolutely.
So that's some of the bad responses, but those are far outweighed by some of the good responses. One of the funnier ones is when, is when a person will come up to me and talk about the Bulletin article, and they'll say, I just want you to know, I read it before I read the pastor's notes.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, and so a lot of the parents, as I mentioned, their, you know, their formation may be spotty and few and far between. Some of them, they'll cut out the articles and scrapbook them, and they'll say, like, when are you going to publish these things? And so that's, oh, that's very gratifying to hear that kind of response. I'm really happy to see that kind of stuff. I'm glad that I'm reaching parents where they are. With the students, it's been also phenomenal. I can't imagine my life without it, honestly. I've formed so many friendships, and, you know, one thing I'm big on is the filial brother-sister relationship that you have with these kids. You really find more brothers and sisters when you're doing this work, this for teenage Bible studies. And I've seen kids who have gone from being, you know, skeptical, near atheists when they come in. And then one in particular, he's now in the Dominican House of Studies, and so he's becoming a priest.
Now, is being an apologist a full-time job for you, or do you have, you know, work 9 to 5 elsewhere too?
No, I do work 9 to 5 elsewhere. I'm a mechanical engineer.
So this is all just spare time.
Yeah, so this is this is at night when the boys go to bed. This is lunch break type stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, and so that's another question people often have is like, where'd you study theology? And it's like, well, I didn't. I just listened to a lot of Catholic radio. Wow.
Woohoo!
I know. It's y'all are very much to thank for all of this.
And what's the toughest question that you get? I mean, people ask you all kinds of questions. Some are maybe softball questions that you've answered a million times, and they're kind of just rote answers that you spiel off. But every now and then, does somebody come up with one and think, oh, wow, how did they even think of that?
Okay. No, it's not the ones that how'd they ever think of that. Those are oftentimes just, sometimes the more technical they are, the more easy. It's the more basic questions, which are the harder ones, like, why did my mom die of cancer? Those questions are the ones that keep you up at night. Mm-hmm. Like, Jesus promised us that he would answer our prayers. Where was my answer? Yikes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yikes. That's one where you just, you know, an important lesson of being an apologist is knowing your limits. And when you encounter something like that, it's important to know how to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, we can talk about the goodness of God. We can talk about the existence of God. But when we talk about these sorts of things, like, it's difficult to answer those sorts of things.
So you have a book out too, just published recently.
I was just looking at the title of that. The title is Too Long, Didn't Read. And I thought, I wonder what that's about. And I got to thinking, wait a minute, he's talking a lot about the Bible. I wonder if...
So one of the great frustrations of youth ministry is trying to get kids to read the Bible, because the letters in the New Testament can be very unapproachable, and they're very long. And so what I wrote was I took all the letters and I tried to condense them to 1/5 their size while maintaining all of the meaning as much as I could. And the result was a book it's short, it's readable. It's called Too Long Didn't Read, A Condensation of the New Testament Epistles. It's on Amazon. And so that's my first foray into the publishing world.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So give us your...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Give us
your... I was just going to ask where the book is available.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think you were too.
No, go ahead.
Well, where is the book available? It's on Amazon. It's a $3 ebook and it's a $7 paperback.
Okay. Too Long Didn't Read.
Yep.
By Stephen O'Keefe.
Yes. And give us your webpage and maybe your blog. Your blog and maybe your email again.
So the blog/webpage is actsapologist1word.blogspot.com, and when you go there, look at the index of posts, and you can see the big encyclopedia of everything that I've written. The YouTube channel is also called Acts Apologist. You can see some of the videos I've made, and then the email address is olmc.acts@gmail.com, and that's how you can get in contact with me.
I can't believe we're out of time. I could talk to you a lot longer.
Very fast.
My guest has been Stephen O'Keefe. He is the local apologist in the Carmel, at the Carmel Parish, but you can get him online and YouTube. And
do you ever go out to other parishes or other high schools to speak, or do you work pretty much out of Our Lady of Mount Carmel?
I've spoken at Carmel High School. And I was once called out to Bryant, Indiana, which is a place you've never heard of, to help at a retreat.
Wow.
Yeah, it's on the border of Ohio, east of Fort Wayne.
I know where that is because there used to be a little music venue over there that brought in kind of interesting acts, but not big top acts.
It was a very wonderful place, very nice people. I see them every year at Destination Jesus. And when I showed up there at the parking lot of the church, there was horses in there. It was the first church I've ever been to that where there were horses in the parking spaces.
That's pretty cool. Well, thank you so much for being my guest. And I guess if people want to get more information, they can find you a couple different places.
Feel free.
God bless you, Stephen.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.